A tennis coach named Jake Stopp was tired of bending over thousands of times each day to pick up balls. His back ached, his knees protested. Yet for nearly a century, tennis players had simply accepted this tedious reality as part of the game. Then one day, Stopp noticed something curious. Tennis balls could squeeze through the bars of a metal fence. This simple observation sparked an invention that would transform tennis instruction worldwide, the tennis ball hopper. What makes this story remarkable isn't the invention itself, but what it reveals about the nature of innovation. The solution seems obvious in retrospect, yet it took someone living the problem daily to see it. This pattern repeats throughout history. Ordinary people experiencing frustration firsthand often create the most transformative solutions. Invention isn't reserved for lab-coded geniuses or Silicon Valley entrepreneurs. It's a skill anyone can develop by learning to see problems differently. The most successful inventions emerge from intimate knowledge of a problem's nuances. Robert Plath revolutionized luggage not because he studied suitcases, but because as an airline pilot, he dragged them through airports constantly. While wheels on luggage already existed, Plath's rollerboard design, with wheels on one edge and a telescoping handle, succeeded because he understood the specific friction points other designs missed. MIT professor Eric von Hippel discovered that roughly 80% of scientific equipment innovations originated with users, not manufacturers, calling this lead user theory. These lead users serve as need forecasting laboratories, experiencing tomorrow's problems today. Jack Dorsey created an early version of Twitter in 2000, 6 years before the technology existed to support it. He suffered from Martian jet lag, solving a problem before most people knew it existed. When Twitter finally launched in 2006, it took just 2 weeks to build because Dorsey had spent years mentally prototyping it. The lesson? The best inventors don't just study problems, they live them. Beyond corporate labs lies a vast world of invention, what Eric von Hippel calls innovation's dark matter. Tim Durk, mascot for the San Antonio Spurs, invented the t-shirt cannon after slingshots failed. Rather than patent his 90-pound cast iron prototype, he shared it freely with fellow mascots in the fraternity. This collaborative spirit represents an enormous invisible force. Surveys reveal 8% of British citizens modify their own tools, while one-third across 17 countries consider themselves inventors. The prosthetics world exemplifies this phenomenon. Deborah Latour invented the anchor device after battling primitive harness systems. John Scholes, Enable, connects volunteers with 3D printers to people needing affordable prosthetics. The community has produced over 700 customized hands for a fraction of commercial costs. MIT instructor Amy Smith teaches engineering as empathy, taking students to off-grid villages for collaboration. Her $2 a day assignment forces students to experience subsistence living, revealing poverty's demand for creativity. She insists there are geniuses in Africa creating remarkable solutions like Mohammed Ba Abba's pot-within-pot refrigeration using evaporation instead of electricity. Inventors often stumble upon solutions before identifying problems. In 1982, NASA engineer Lonnie Johnson was testing a heat pump when water unexpectedly shot across his bathroom, inspiring the Super Soaker. Many breakthroughs, microwave ovens, Teflon, X-rays, began with unexpected phenomena. A 2005 European study found half of inventors reported breakthroughs starting with surprise discoveries. Duane Pearsall noticed his static neutralizer reacting to cigarette smoke, leading to the first affordable home smoke detector and creating a billion-dollar industry. These inventors didn't follow structured creative theories or preparation stages. Serial inventor Steve Hollinger embraces experimentation, following curiosity over predetermined goals. Mihalik Csikszentmihalyi's study of art students showed those exploring multiple possibilities rather than executing single ideas produced higher-rated work and achieved greater success. This reflects the value of tinkering, physical, sensory dialogue with materials. The pharmaceutical industry now combines both approaches, data mining for promising directions while applying human insight to understand mechanisms. As researcher Atul Butt notes, petabytes of publicly available research represent frozen knowledge waiting to be unlocked. The greatest discoveries often hide in what we dismiss as nothing. When we label something waste, we stop looking. Lawrence Herbert transformed printing by creating the Pantone Matching System, a universal color language that solved ink inconsistency chaos and generated millions in licensing fees. In Southern Illinois coal country, entrepreneurs like Tim Grayson converted methane-leaking mine shafts into greenhouse power sources. At MIT's Building 20, Tim Anderson and Jim Brett revolutionized 3D printing with their kitty litter machine, repurposed inkjet printers using sweeten-low powder. Their $100 contraption fabricated objects in 15 minutes, leading to Z Corporation and the world's fastest 3D printer in 1997. Bill Gates calls the Haber-Bosch process, converting air into fertilizer, the most significant invention ever, sustaining 40% of Earth's population. Aluminum evolved from rarer than gold to commonplace, enabling the aeronautics industry. Recently, researchers discovered medical treatments in human feces, curing gut infections. These breakthroughs demonstrate our ability to reimagine abundant but overlooked materials as revolutionary resources. Martin Cooper envisioned everyone having a personal phone number from birth to death, a radical idea when phones were wall-bound in the 1960s. His belief that people are naturally, fundamentally, and inherently mobile drove his work. In the 1950s, Motorola tested portable radios at Mount Sinai Hospital, replacing loudspeakers with pocket communicators, a rift in time where staff experienced future communication decades early. Cooper's 1973 demonstration of the first handheld cell phone, despite its brick-like form and 20-minute battery, proved mobile phones possible. He calls this the Pong effect, when primitive prototypes create new appetites, reshaping behavior. Vannevar Bush, frustrated by inefficient information retrieval in 1933, conceived the Memex, a desk with screens displaying any book on demand. His 1945 Atlantic essay predicted personal computers and search engines 50 years early. Doug Engelbart built on Bush's vision, dedicating himself to augmenting human intelligence. Unconstrained by computer experience, he envisioned a cockpit-like interface for virtual space. By the 1960s, he'd built a system featuring word processing, a mouse, and hypertext, inventing modern computing fundamentals decades ahead. Manufacturing barriers are vanishing. Custom circuit boards arrive in 24 hours. Tasks requiring days of library research and hundreds of thousands of dollars now happen quickly with 3D printers and crowdfunding. Designer Chris Hawker marvels at this shift toward a transparent, decentralized system mimicking nature's approach, billions of diverse experiments rather than monoculture. This global immune system for invention may be our best hope for addressing climate change, water shortages, and disease. The most effective system connects to pain receptors, putting lead users, whistleblowers, and disadvantaged communities at the center as they best diagnose pressing problems. Humans are fundamentally inventors. Our inventive power stems from geographical and cultural diversity, with different communities developing unique solutions using local materials. William Gibson captured this perfectly. The future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed yet. The solution lies in engaging diverse minds, harnessing the unique perspectives of 7 billion people. Every frustrated tennis coach, every tired pilot, every curious tinkerer holds potential to change the world. The question isn't whether you can invent, it's what problem you'll choose to solve.